This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Election Day, Tuesday, November 4th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll hear what some Illinois college students have to say about their first presidential election. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. The clerk in Champaign County says turnout has been heavy and problems have been relatively few as one of the busiest election days in years gets underway. Mark Sheldon says some optical scanner vote counting machines had some problems this morning, but his office has sent out replacements. He also says a precinct in Sydney was originally sent incorrect ballots, but that's been corrected too. Sheldon says almost all precincts had lines waiting for the polls to open well before 6 o'clock this morning, and turnout has been heavy all day. They'll stay open until 7 o'clock tonight as voters choose a president, decide if Senator Dick Durbin gets another term, picks the next Illinois representatives in the U.S. House, and chooses a raft of state and county office holders. Champaign County voters are also being asked to approve a 1% sales tax increase to help fund school construction projects, and voters in Illinois are also being asked about a new constitutional convention for the state. Even though more than 877,000 out of 7.7 million registered Illinois voters have cast early ballots already, overall turnout of around 80% could still mean bustling polling places. AM 580 will join NPR News to cover the vote count tonight. You can hear our coverage at 6 o'clock Central Time here on AM 580, on FM 90.9, and here online at will.illinois.edu. Some experts predict a record number of college students could be headed to the polls this election day, but as Sean Crawford explains, they could face problems casting their vote.
Matthew Siegel heads the Student Association for Voter Empowerment, a group whose aim is to get more young people to get involved with elections. He says a major concern is the turnout could be so large in college areas that precincts might be overwhelmed.
There's conventional wisdom that states that young people don't vote and that For instance, five machines have always worked in the past. We've never needed more than five. And so people assume that natural mantra or wisdom and thereby are ill-prepared for a rise in turnout.
Misinformation has been a problem for college students in the past, including that casting a vote could mean a loss of financial aid. Students, even when their hometown is located elsewhere, are allowed to vote in the city where they go to school, assuming they've registered. Siegel's group has a website where young people can report voting problems. It's studentvotingrights.org. I'm Sean Crawford.
Some county clerks in Illinois and Indiana think that not even a busy early voting period will keep those long lines from forming today. Patty Griffin is the clerk in Fountain County, Indiana, where she says 10% of registered voters already cast absentee ballots before polls open this morning. She knows the presidential candidates have focused on Indiana, but she says national attention is not why she expects long lines.
I don't know about the rest of Indiana. I don't think that's, you know, so much in Fountain County. I just think that everybody, you know, wants to have their voice heard. Everybody has strong opinions about it.
Gritton says she's never seen interest as high in her 12 years in the clerk's office, but she thinks her staff and volunteers have the capacity to handle the flood of voters. But she asks people to be patient, adding that Fountain County almost never sees lines at polling places. Illinois is starting to feel more of the effects of the national economic slowdown. Last month's University of Illinois Flash Index ran close to the level that signifies economic contraction. Economics professor Fred Gertz says any hopes that the problems in the global financial sector wouldn't affect the general economy have now evaporated.
I think it's almost impossible now to avoid that spillover. And with everything that's happened, reductions in people's portfolios and higher unemployment, things of that sort, that almost certainly is going to have an impact in reducing the rate of growth and actually making it negative for a while. So.
Gertz says state tax receipts all fell in September. They form the basis of the monthly flash index. The index has fallen steadily since it reached a peak high in the spring of 2007. A Champaign man who was convicted of killing his estranged wife and concealing her body will spend 65 years in prison without the possibility of parole. Robert Arnett was sentenced yesterday in Champaign County. He was found guilty back in August of strangling Naomi Arnett and burying the body in a shallow grave last year near Sedoris. Authorities searched for months before her body was found. Yesterday in court, Judge DeFantis called Arnett a danger to the community, pointing to a recent letter that Arnett had mailed to an ex-girlfriend who had worked with authorities before Arnett's arrest. State's Attorney Julia Reed says Arnett threatened Teresa Henson.
In that letter, he wishes her a happy birthday and then suggests that she buy herself a gun. He suggests that he is confident that he's going to be released and that his guilty verdict would be overturned. He indicates to her that he doesn't forget betrayal. It's very veiled threats, but veiled yet clear.
Judge DeFantis also called the Arnett sentence a deterrent to domestic violence, noting that victims can come forward to authorities before tragedy strikes. Arnett's attorney, Emily Monroe, plans to appeal the guilty verdict and file a motion to reduce his sentence. A neighborhood plan for the area, including Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, is going back to committee. The Urbana City Council hopes to find language that both the hospital and the mayor can agree upon when it comes to replacing housing that might be torn down for a hospital expansion. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Carl's current expansion plans fall within its present medical campus, but hospital officials say they'll one day want to build new buildings where rental housing it owns now stands. The proposed neighborhood plan for the area calls for one-for-one replacement of any demolished housing and encourages the hospital to work towards that end if it wants zoning approval. But Mayor Laurel Prussing wants the word encourage to be require. Carl Executive Vice President John Snyder says forcing that requirement on them isn't fair.
All we are asking for is some flexibility. Carl Foundation Hospital is not willing to commit to the high expectation of required one-to-one housing replacement.
But Prussing says she doesn't expect Carl to take full responsibility for replacement housing, just negotiate with the city to help make the housing possible.
And that's all we're asking for, is that they work with us. We're not saying that they have to pay the entire cost of doing anything. We know we have to negotiate with them on how to do this.
A vote on the Crystal Lake neighborhood plan was postponed last night to give the Urbana City Council a chance to work out compromise language in committee next week. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Christie Clinic plans to break ground next spring for a new expansion in Northwest Champaign. That $35 million project near I-57 and 74 also includes remodeling the clinic's downtown facility. It's Christie Clinic's second attempt to build a new center. CEO Alan Gleghorn says this time they won't need the State Health Facilities Planning Board's approval. The clinic initially planned shutting down its downtown facility to move its entire operation to the northwest end of Champaign, but the State Health Board rejected Christie Clinic's plan for an outpatient surgery center. Gleghorn says the clinic expansion is necessary because of a growing number of patients.
We will be positioned on 25 acres, so as we need to expand in the future, it will be easily done by just adding on to our existing building up there. So we really kind of get the best of both worlds. We get to maintain a downtown presence, but yet we get the expansion space for the future that we needed as well.
Gleghorn says the expansion will create about 100 new jobs. He says the new building will house physical therapy and dermatology services. It's expected to be ready in the summer of 2010. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Voters across the nation hit the polls today to participate in democracy. James Rupert of Illinois Public Radio recently spoke with students at Western Illinois University to find out what the right to vote, democracy, and freedom mean to them.
I feel that the right to vote is kind of important because even for college students, it somewhat gives us like a meaning.
I think it's important to vote. I think it's not only a right but a responsibility to vote in this country because, I mean, this is a democracy and the democracy runs on the will of the people.
The right to vote gives me the opportunity to express myself and my political opinions, and it represents a freedom that women did not once have. And I think that it's a duty that all women in our generation should, or privilege rather, should take advantage of the opportunity to vote.
The right to vote means to me that it gives me a chance to give a little bit of my own say, to kind of put the power back into the people. Democracy means to me that I'm able to live freely and practice the way I want. It's that freedom that gives me a chance to be who I want to be.
I think the term democracy is merely a word that describes a system that we use here in America. As Americans, we have the privilege to express our opinion and the freedom to do so.
Even though this is a democracy, that we won't always agree with the decisions that are made, and that's why we vote. But if somebody gets voted in that we don't agree with, we have to live with that as well, and support that person.
You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want.
Freedom isn't free. I'm in the United States military, and freedom is not free. We win freedom, baby.
Freedom is citizens' right to happiness with restrictions put on what they're legally allowed to do.
When I think about freedom, I think about, you know, being able to voice your opinion, voice, you know, how you feel about the way the government's run, the way your country is operated. Also, I think that freedom to me is it's more of a people see it as a leisure, and I think we take it for granted sometimes.
So won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, these songs of freedom, 'cause all I ever had, redemption songs.
That was a sampling of students at Western Illinois University recently talking about freedom, democracy, and the right to vote. It was put together by Illinois Public Radio's James Rupert with production assistance from Rich Egger. Voters are being met with ideal weather, so if they have to stand outside waiting to vote, they'll do it under clear skies and a high temperature in Champaign-Urbana of around 75 degrees, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser's forecast. Highs elsewhere in the two-state area ranging between 72 and 77. For tonight, mostly clear skies and lows ranging from 45 in the south to 55 in northwest Illinois, 49 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and again a high of around 75 degrees, 70 to 77 elsewhere in the two-state area. Looking ahead, tomorrow night, increasing clouds with a low of 54. Thursday, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms arriving, the high 67 degrees. And looking ahead to Friday, mostly cloudy and cooler with a chance of a few showers and a high of 51. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 4th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.